Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is a weekly program sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is a full-service precious metals broker-dealer located in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is committed to honesty and integrity in every transaction. Now here's the host of True Wealth, Kevin Wolter.
Hello again and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Wolter, the host of True Wealth. True Wealth is a weekly radio program sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. We can also be contacted through our website at coinsplus.com. Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer and depository service. We're actively involved in continually buying and selling all forms of precious metals. Precious metals being gold bullion, old numismatic coins, silver bullion. We buy silverware, silver plate, silver jewelry, gold jewelry, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. This week we bought a bunch of poured gold from, an old mine. Dental gold. We buy pretty much gold in any form. The only exception really is electroplated gold. If you look at like old jewelry and if it says like 14K EGP or something like that, or GP, it means gold plated. EGP means electrical plated, whatever. Silver plate, people will have old silverware. They think it'll say silver plate or quadruple plated. That's not good. Silver, old silver, sterling silver has to be marked either the word sterling or the numbers 925. There are exceptions on old European pieces. They had a four-piece hallmark that were four specific symbols that together mean sterling silver. Not a lot of that out there, but we do run into it fairly frequently. But that's the only exception to the rule. We buy old coins, collections, diamonds. We trade. We help a lot of people get out of things that are not marked. Into things, well, I should say not marked or not identifiable, into things that are, like the gold 20 francs that Goldline used to push so heavily. When they sold them, everybody, they told everybody they were, quote, about a fifth of an ounce. They're closer to 0.18 of an ounce, so they're closer to a sixth of an ounce than they are to a fifth of an ounce. But all that's designed into their sales pitch. That way they automatically pick up another 10% in premium. And then, the thing we run into a lot, they're not marked anywhere that gold is in them. They don't say gold on them. They don't tell the purity. The old sovereigns are the same way. Don't get me wrong, they are gold, but a lot of people like to trade them into something that's marked and nice round even weights. As I've said in the past, if you have 38 20 francs, you don't know how much gold you have. If you have 38 coins that don't say they're gold on them or anywhere what kind of gold's in them, and they have 0.1867 troy ounces in them, can you do 38 times 0.1867 in your head? I sure can't. Or the same with sovereigns. If you have 38 sovereigns times 0.2354, again, you can't do the math. So a lot of that odd weight stuff, it's interesting. Goldline advertises they have proof foreign gold. A lot of foreign gold folks has no collector premium, but what they do is they create the perception of value. They make you think it's numismatic. For example, the old 20 francs and sovereigns, they'll say they're pre-33. Well, guess what? They're all pre-33. They'll say they're uncirculated. Guess what? They're all uncirculated because they were never meant to circulate. They were always a bullion coin even back then. And so these kinds of things, again, they're gold. Don't get me wrong. But are they the best form? No. Are they the most desirable? No. But they're gold. But again, to simplify without spending much time, a lot of people like to get that in a nice even weight, like 1 ounce American Gold Eagles, Krugerrands, Maple Leafs, whatever, or the old U.S. $20, $10, $5, $2.50 gold pieces that are all currently trading really close to their precious metals content. This is a great value. There's, you've all heard, I think, of the St. Gaudens. They're a wonderful, beautiful coin for a generally, you know, circulated, not heavily circulated, but just mildly circulated coin, they literally trade within 10% of the price of a 1 ounce bullion American Gold Eagle coin, and you're getting a coin that's over 100 years old. It's got real close to an ounce of gold in it, and it's gorgeous. It's got tons of antique potential or numismatic potential, and they just are a great value. There's a lot of this stuff out there. Now, I'm going to move on into this show. Essentially, you know, I can leave it at that. We deal in diamonds, all this stuff, folks. Any of that stuff out there, though, I guess the only thing I want to drop in here, obviously we do a fair amount of business. We appreciate it. We appreciate your loyalty. We really do. I appreciate all the compliments we get on the show. I always feel like I could do so much better, and I just thank you for supporting us and standing behind us. Without a lot of further ado, I can tell you in all of my reading and studies this week, well, first of all, okay, I'll get to that. In my readings and studies this week, I cannot even tell you the insurmountable level of analysis that is just pointing towards the metals. 2014, I guarantee you, folks, is a hinge year. It's a turnaround year. It's going back to the good old times, in not just in metals, folks, but, you know, here's the thing. Your metals-based assets, and numismatic is all part of that, we've absolutely converted over to recommending fully balanced portfolios. For those of you who've listened, I've always been very unbiased. I've tried to be very objective about market conditions. I've tried to look for value. And please understand, the advice we give is the advice we take. What I tell you to do is what I personally am doing with my own money at the time. And it's what I'm doing with my family's money, with my relatives' money. And it's serious to me. So I understand there's always kind of an area for confusion on when you get into semi-numismatic and numismatic items, and I understand that the mentality of simplicity. You've got to realize there's always going to be volatility, there's always going to be manipulation. I mean, eventually, you know, there's going to be another big breakout, and the next one's going to be insane. I mean, last time gold ran to 1900 and silver was pushing 50, this is coming again, and it's going to be absolutely ridiculous. But the long haul, you want balance in that portfolio. Good, you want to invest for good times, bad times, and in between times, for short term, mid term, and long term, for survival and savings. And I mean, we build portfolios with all this in mind. And America is not going to be the same. What's going to be left behind, the shrapnel and the wake that's going to be left behind just from this presidency alone, will change the country forever. The amount, if you track the level of increase to the Federal Reserve notes that has been going on just since Obama got in, when we had the, you know, the Lehman Brothers debacle back in 08, we had an outstanding deficit of around $5 trillion, but we had what the Fed reported as the monetary base at $849 billion. Okay, the deficit now has exceeded $17 trillion, and this past October 30th, the Fed monetary base was reported at $3.7 trillion. That's an expansion of over $2.8 trillion. Okay, now that's all taken place. That's the monetary expansion. You know, the deficit's gone up $12 trillion. So the bottom line is, if the Fed had continued to expand our deficit and monetary base at a normal pace, okay, by the normal rate that it had been increasing since 1961, now this is not, I'm telling you, the average pace that the money has been increasing since 61 would have taken us another 150 years to come as far as we did in the last 6 years, okay? With normal growth, the Fed's recent monetary expansion would not have been achieved until the year 2158. Prior to 2008, there were only two times the Fed embarked on extremely rapid monetary explosion of this type. First, in anticipation of the widely feared Y2K bug, and later in the aftermath of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. However, as of the latest tally, the post-Lehman QEs, quantitative easings, have been a whopping 43 times larger than the Y2K expansion and 70 times larger than the Fed's explosive reaction to the 9/11 events. The most alarming fact of all this is that while the Fed has used crisis after crisis to justify monetary madness, it has not yet begun to fix the underlying disease that gives rise to these crises. It merely papers over the symptoms. Okay, so as I've said in the past, and I love Einstein's quotes, where he says, "No problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it." So not only is the Federal Reserve incapable of fixing the problem that they created, the very existence of the Fed, the creation of the Fed in and of itself is designed to create the problem that we're experiencing today. As a matter of fact, the Fed's design, which is ultimately Keynesian economics from John Maynard Keynes, who said it's the missing ingredient for Marxism to prevail, and he said that it's designed that through a continuing process of inflation, it allows a government to confiscate an important part of the people's wealth without their knowing it. And in 1838, Mayor M. Shell Rothschilds, the founder of the international banking dynasty, in a letter from London to Rothschild's agents in New York, wrote, he said, "Let me issue and control a nation's money." Now, I want you to listen to this. The Rothschilds are the banking cartel. They are the banking family. They're the ones that took on Keynesian economics. They were instrumental in its creation with John Maynard Keynes. They're the ones that still back and control the banking system. Of course, they've been deified in this nation and elevated and glorified like they're the greatest and best people, and they're these phenomenal philanthropists and, you know, so on. So in 1838, Meyer Amschel Rothschilds, the founder of the international banking dynasty, wrote a letter from London to the Rothschild agents in New York. And his letter said, quote, "Let me issue and control a nation's money, and I care not who makes its laws. The few who understand the system will either be so interested from its profits or so dependent on its favors / politicians that there will be no opposition from that class, while on the other hand, the great body of people, mentally incapable of comprehending the tremendous advantage that capital derives from the system, will bear its burdens without complaint, and perhaps without even suspecting that the system is inimical to their interests." What's worse now is we have over 50% of society demanding this ridiculous level of taxation, which is a massive form of, well, inflation is a massive form of taxation, and taxation is a voluntary form of wealth confiscation. So tell me how before the teens of 1900, we were able to survive so well as a country without this incredible level of taxation, and that once we began these insane levels of taxation, now think about this, the original income tax started right after the Federal Reserve Act. First year it was 0.5% voluntary on all income that was over the equivalent of today's $20 million. Within 7 years they had tax rates on the higher income brackets of, you know, literally 76%. And then it went up and up and up from there, and you weren't a patriot if you didn't play in. It's just like the terrorism thing today. They had set it up so anybody who spoke against paying Uncle Sam was, you know, basically a traitor. So then how did this happen that we went into this massive taxation explosion and led to the big crash of 29 and the greatest depression in the possibly, well, for sure, the largest depression financially in the history of the world up until that point. How did all these taxes going to the government cause that? And think about the fact that the United States government spends over $4 trillion a year on its budget. They collect $1.5 trillion a year in taxation income. The rest is borrowed. Okay? So they're spending $4 trillion a year. They create 5 million jobs a year. That's $800,000. Now, that's the 5 million jobs, by the way, are direct and indirect. That's not just federal employees. That's everybody. That's every kind of road contract you can think of. That's every kind of every contractor that's subcontracting to the government. And, I've got friends and relatives that, do things like in Montana, remove the old missile silos and fill them full of gravel. And, they're going to be there for the next 20 years filling these missile silos with gravel. And, they are massive. And, like one guy said, it's just like a broken slot machine, the way the government pays. So basically, $4 trillion in expenditures, 5 million jobs directly and indirectly. That's $800,000 per year per job. The highest expenditure of any Fortune 500 company on a per employee basis is under $60,000 a year. It's like $56,000 or $58,000. So our government spends 13 times the top paying, average paying Fortune 500 company, and what do we got to show for it? The level of waste by its very nature, okay? And then you got the greed from politicians. When they have the power to push the button and make more money, why on earth would they stop? If they want to get elected and they're desperate, it's like a form of self-defense. If someone's out on the street and someone's trying to kill or destroy them or hurt them, they're going to defend themselves vehemently. When people feel they're in a desperate situation, which politicians running for campaign elections are, the saying is desperate times require desperate measures. So of course these politicians are going to promise everybody everything. They're going to promise to pay everything, you name it. They're going to give away whatever they have to get reelected. Now, our president happens to be the greatest abuser of this that I've ever heard of or seen. The Clintons were master politicians where they'd say one thing and do another. Obama, they say it and they do it, but they also don't say it and do it. And they're radical, radical left. And, you've got a guy who's out there saying, I don't care if Congress is going to do what I want or not. I have a pen and I have a phone. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to issue executive orders. Well, Congress represents the people. They've used the media to hack Congress down. They call them this do-nothing Congress, folks. What's wrong with do-nothing? How about you sit there and do nothing at all? We don't need any more legislation. As Jim DeMint said, who was the Speaker of the House, lead of the Senate, when he stepped down, he's, in his 65 years old, he said, if you're my age, you have not seen one law repealed in your entire lifetime. And we've got the left complaining that the right has Congress hostage and they won't do anything and something must be done. We have to be legislating, by golly. What are we doing wrong here? They're saying, well, if Congress is holding everybody hostage, we must do something to get these acts passed because, by gosh, we need jobs. The huge stimulus bill that was going to provide all the jobs, that wasn't enough. Shovel-ready jobs, they didn't really exist. This extreme expenditure. And then you have liberals saying, well, we just didn't spend enough. We needed to spend more. They don't know, where's that money come from? Whose, rear end does it come out of? It all comes at a massive cost with a massive payback and incredible consequences. But they don't see that. They actually believe, in this artificial, what I call the democracy deception. Pay it forward. Take and spend whatever you can to stay in office, just buy the votes, build fear into the people, and then down the road let some later generation deal with it. Who cares? They won't be around to suffer or pay the consequences. So you got the Rothschilds who pretty much said, you let me control the money, and I don't care what the laws are. He said, as I mentioned earlier, he says, the people basically will support it and demand it in request it themselves. And that's what we're doing. We got over half of society fighting to keep the IRS intact. We know the IRS is very partisan. You know, anyway, I could get into that whole partisan thing, but we know it's out of control. On December 23rd of 1913, when President Woodrow Wilson signed into law the Federal Reserve Act, the right to issue and control money was given to a Rothschild's descendant through association with J.P. Morgan and a small group of banks headquartered in Europe. And then the day before the act was signed into law by the president, the Congressman Charles Lindbergh, who's the father of the famous aviator, he said, "This act establishes the most gigantic trust on earth. When the president signs this bill, the invisible government by the monetary power will be legalized. The people may not know it immediately, but the day of reckoning is only a few years removed. The trusts will soon realize that they have gone too far, even for their own good. The people must make a declaration of independence to relieve themselves from the monetary power. This they will be able to do by taking control of Congress. Wall Streeters could not cheat us if you senators and representatives did not make a humbug of Congress. The greatest crime of Congress is its currency system. The worst legislative crime of the ages is perpetrated by this banking bill. The caucus and the party bosses have again operated and prevented the people from getting the benefit of their own government." So basically, Charles Lindbergh, you know, he predicted what would happen. Charles Lindbergh got a lot right and he got a few things wrong. And here's, you think about it, he said this: "The people may not know it immediately, but the day of reckoning is only a few years removed." Well, yes, it was. Years later, just within a handful of years, the taxes were going crazy. Within a decade and a half, we were in the Great Depression. And he said, "The trusts will soon realize that they've gone too far, even for their own good." Okay, we created a monster we can't stop. And the people must make a declaration of independence to relieve themselves from the monetary power. So he's telling people then, folks, stand up, stick up for yourself. People had no clue. People have this attitude that somehow this great political entity is smarter than they and can somehow do a different type of mathematics than they can. They send these people to Capitol Hill and we elevate them and escalate them. On one hand, we go, "They're a bunch of crooks, a bunch of liars. I don't trust a one of them." And then on the other hand, you know, we act like, you know, they're these stately gentlemen with incredible intelligent, you know, genius IQs that can solve any problem, and that they somehow know something about math and money that we don't. And, you know, the bottom line is, in a lot of countries, I heard a guy speaking lately, and a guy I don't agree with a whole heck of a lot, and he was talking about how money in America, we treat money as a number thing, okay? We just see it as numbers in, numbers out. And this is a real strong biblical principle. The bottom line is, money is all-encompassing. You think about it. He was talking about if a spouse, you know, does monetary things behind the back of another spouse, that he you know, equated that to infidelity. He called it financial infidelity because, like he said, money affects our psychological, our emotional, our spiritual condition. It affects everything about who we are. It speaks of our character. It speaks of our integrity. And, you know, so on this show, True Wealth, when we're talking about money and financing and saving, and it's like, oh, man, you know, materialism. No, not at all. If you see it as materialism, then you've got that American money is just a number thing. Now, think of how all-encompassing monetary things are in your life, in anyone's life, in this country's life. Now, you might know that pastor or that church servant that rides his bike everywhere, even though he's 55, and he's always lived in a donated apartment, and he doesn't live for money at all, and it doesn't mean a thing to him. But at the same time, he's bound by money too, a lack of it. He's chosen to live without it. He makes a conscious effort every single day to live like a pauper, okay? For some reason, folks, God programmed us this way. He programmed us to highly value riches and wealth, to seek them, to chase them down. I was conversing this week with a gal who was a manager of a major brokerage firm, and she broke away and she sent a lot of people into metals, and she had kind of an epiphany sort of a situation, but she's kind of a left-wing and pretty godless gal. And she was soliciting me for this bill, this I-1349 or 29, that basically is trying to, you know, they say limit the expenditures of corporations towards campaigns, but really what it's trying to do is prop up and strengthen the union lobby and destroy corporate lobby, because they're afraid that, you know, the conservatives will have, you know, the same amount of influence as the unions. But her whole point is she was trying to claim that all the problems that we're in now of our society are all caused by corporate greed. It's all corporate greed. That's all that did it, you know, as a whole. And she's touting all of Obama's stuff, and that, you know, that everybody has a right, you know, if they try hard and work hard, they're guaranteed success in this country. Folks, I mean, let's face it, no one's guaranteed anything anywhere in life. And this country still provides an opportunity like no other. But like I was conversing with her and by email, and I pretty much said, there are no guarantees of success. Not everybody is cut from the same cloth. The vast majority of people are not entrepreneurs or risk takers, and they never will be. Then what happens is those that go out and work their tail off and save up enough to eventually roll the dice and put everything they have into a business, risk everything they have, work 80, 90 hour work weeks to get the business up and running, you know, stressed out and worried and praying their tails off. This, not that I would know from firsthand experience. You know, when they finally get it rolling and running, all of a sudden these lefties act like they woke up one day with a lap full of profit and that they ought to just give it all away to help other people. The ones that did nothing say, well, give me some of that. You know, it's kind of like the buddy who, you know, has a friend and buys a lottery ticket and he wins. And he's like, well, dude, I get some of that, don't I? You know, I'm your friend. It's like, well, I don't think so. I think it's all mine. I'll do some nice stuff for you. You know, I'll help you out along the way. I don't want you to help me out. I want you to give me some of that. Well, you know, and I spent all those years in banking, and I'll tell you what, I saw money tear apart families, tear apart friendships. And as I tell people, any time you intend a loan to a friend or family, consider it a gift. To not do so will destroy the relationship. Folks, we are in the final cycle of this system. In the next show, I'm going to cover, I'll discuss real quick all these cycles that and all these anniversaries that we're facing right now. These are real, real times. 2014 is a big mover shaker year. IRAs, whatever you got, it's time. Pull them out or let's roll them over for you while you've still got time. It's exciting times, but it's also nerve-wracking. I'm going to discuss in the next half hour a lot about what's going on with Russia and so on, so be sure and tune in. Contact Coins Plus at 444-0044. Get yourself into the one guaranteed form of money that God laid out for us. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care, God bless, and please tune in to the next half hour. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus, located in Spokane, Washington, at 3201 North Division Street in the Clock Tower Building. Visit our website at coinsplus.com. You can call us locally in Spokane at 444-0044 or toll-free at 877-827-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. And remember to join us every week for True Wealth.